You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Talking Heads podcast. Before we get into it, I just want to... This episode is going to be a little bit different. Adam is out of the studio this week. He's got a bunch of shit going on. He's, like, moving, and he's got, like, a bunch of, like, I don't know, like, dad responsibilities. So it's just going to be me this week talking to you guys. I'm going to do this like a, you know, like a... fucking like a Bill Burr podcast, you know, just like, I won't be ranting the whole time, but it's just going to be me doing this guy solo, but it's going to be good. This episode, we are talking about Rick Rubin. I've listened to a lot of podcasts this week. We might get into a couple other ones, but the one I want to focus on the most this week is, Rick Rubin on the Daily Stoic podcast. This is an episode that I listened to on the road. As some of the listeners know, I've been on the road riding my bike across the country from the border of Mexico to the border of Canada. So I apologize for the audio. It's not going to be as high quality as if I was in the studio recording it, but, you know, we just got to make do. And, yeah, it should still be a good episode. So before we get into the episode, I just want to kind of explain a little bit of what's going on. I know the podcast has been kind of out of whack for a couple weeks now. Episodes have been a little, you know, a little choppy, maybe out of tune, you know, not as locked in and engaged as some of the viewers maybe used to. So just wanted to kind of give everybody an update on what's going on. Like I said, I'm currently riding my bike across the country. I'm in Wyoming right now. I passed the halfway point about a week ago, or a couple days, a week ago. I'm in Wyoming, Rawlins, Wyoming, about to go through arguably one of the hardest parts of the course, the Great Basin, which is basically like it's basically 135 miles of nothingness. So it's very remote, very little water, no resupplies, you know, very little human contact, if you will. I'm fully expecting to run into some aliens, which I will, you know, greatly greet with some ayahuasca and other... No, I'm just kidding. I wish I had ayahuasca to, you know, meet some aliens with, but no, I'm just kidding. But it's going to be a tough section. I've got... going to try and pull it out all in one day. It's going to be probably the most physically intense day of my life. It should be good. Should be good. I've been, you know, physically preparing my body and got the bike all set up, and I'll have plenty of water and food and, you know, this, that, and the other. Listen to some podcasts on the way. I will just say that has been one of the nice things about doing this show, you know, is, I'm a big podcast guy as it is. And so, you know, to be able to, use that and, you know, have my own podcast and, you know, have a way to channel and you know, have a little bit of a voice to some people of kind of what I've been listening to, and hopefully try and add some insight to some other people. Should be good. So yeah, that's kind of the goal of this episode. I'm without Adam, you know, so if you enjoyed that British commentary, I apologize. There's a long list of other podcasts that we've done that I encourage you to check out. That should be good. But yeah, like I said, it's just going to be me today. But we've got a good episode, I think, for everybody. Rick Rubin, who is someone we haven't mentioned in the podcast yet, actually. It's kind of interesting. He's kind of in this sphere of, you know, online personality, creative people. And we haven't mentioned him on the show at all, which I feel is a bit strange because I've known of him for many years now. And, you know, he's someone that I get a lot of inspiration from. It's a lot of insight, a lot of wisdom comes from this man. And yeah, I've been on this trip. I've been listening to quite a lot of podcasts, actually. That's kind of been my thing. You know, I've been listening to podcasts and audiobooks and lots of music along the way, you know, just to keep the mind occupied. But it's been good because I've been able to find some good shows. And you know, some there's been lots of good conversations that I've listened to along the journey, and have kind of transformed my framework of thinking, you know, from its normal state to, I would say, something a bit more elevated. And you know, I would I don't know if that's the correct word, but you know, it's definitely been nice. You know, you have you're just sitting on the bike for basically, you know, 6, 7, sometimes 10 hours a day. So, you know, it helps to have some sort of information going in aside from just the usual music and the birds. So yeah, so been listening to a lot of podcasts. There have been some really good ones. There have been some okay ones, but you know, to kind of segue into this show, one of my favorites has been actually the one that we're going to discuss today, which is the Rick Rubin podcast. He's done a lot of podcasts. He's a very popular internet person as of late. I don't know how long he's been in the sphere of the internet, but he's been a driving force of a lot of creatives, and I would include myself in that category. And we haven't mentioned him on the show yet. It's interesting because I feel like a lot of the a lot of the stuff that he discusses is very similar in parallel to a lot of the things that we discuss on the show. And I guess if you think about it, it was really only a matter of time before we start discussing his particular voice and I guess personality or persona on the internet. But oh, excuse me, I have the burps. Yeah, so the podcast that I guess I'm officially reviewing is it was a 2-part podcast with the podcast is called The Daily Stoic. I'm sure if you're listening to the show, you might already know what that is. But a wonderful, wonderful creator by the name of... Hold on a second. Let me just find his name. Ryan Holiday. Ryan Holiday is his name. He does The Daily Stoic. He's got a great YouTube channel. Can't remember what it's called, but it's all about Stoicism, which is a particular form of philosophy commonly associated with Marcus Aurelius, who was a wonderful philosopher back in the day. And he has a great program. I would encourage you to check out his podcast. The Daily Stoic is a good podcast because it's obviously a daily podcast. There's new episodes every day. There's new content for you to find. And his shows, actually, they range in length from, there's some that are, you know, 12 minutes long to 20 minutes to 3 minutes, you know. And then he's got these also, he's included these kind of longer interviews. And this one actually went on for about an hour and a half. He had to break it up into two parts, which I'm going to be honest with you, kind of a bit of a segue. But if you're running a podcast and you have an interview that goes a little bit long, don't separate it into two episodes. Just don't do it. Don't do it. The people who are listening don't want to have to fucking find the second episode and, you know, download that separately, add it to their playlist separately. Just make it one episode, you know? Even if, I mean, think about it, right? Rogan does podcasts for what? 3, 4, sometimes 5 hours? And people listen to it, you know? I mean, I can't imagine who's listening to it for 5 hours, but still, there's no need to break it up. No need to break it up.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's a bit nitpicky, obviously. But, you know, just a PSA for all those podcasters out there. Don't break up your podcast. Just make it one long thing, because people are going to listen to it either ways. If it's a good podcast, which hopefully you're at a place where you're making good podcasts, you know, there shouldn't be a issue of, you know, people only want one. I feel like that's the antithesis of making podcasts, right? Like, podcasts are supposed to be these long form interviews, right? So when you break it up into two segments that are only 45 minutes long, it's like, you know, okay, it's a little bit longer than a, you know, CNN clip, but still, if I'm going to listen, if I'm interested in it, and I'm going to listen to the first 45 minutes, chances are, by that point, I'm engaged, I'm locked in, I want to listen to the rest of it. So just make it one podcast. That's all I want to say. Anyways, that is not to say that the Daily Stoic is not a good podcast. The guy who does those, Brian Holiday, great individual. He's got a great YouTube channel. He's written a couple of books. I don't have books. I don't know the name of the books off the top of my head, but I know he's written a couple of really popular books. He has a big online following. And I was really, he strikes me as very much a young philosopher in a way. You know, he very much is not afraid to ask a question. He's always coming at information from a very, I would say, balanced and, very balanced, and I want to say, I feel curious, but that may be a bit of a juvenile word. I mean, I think it's more of a, it just has the right philosophy, the right philosophical outlook on it. You know, he's always thinking critically. He's always thinking, extrapolating, always thinking about how this relates to that, how he can interpret whatever information into his own life and experience in life. And I feel that's a very useful skill. And so I was very, very, I was very excited when I saw that he was doing a podcast with Rick Rubin. Great interviewer as well. Unfortunately, I haven't listened to a lot of his other stuff. I've checked out his YouTube channel extensively. I'm a big fan of Stoicism as a philosophy. Marcus Aurelius is a brilliant mind, and he has a Brian has a really good way of conveying a lot of his messages and his teachings. And so I like his interviews as well. He's a good, I would say, he's up there with Lex and Rogan, you know, as far as good interviewers go. You know, he asks the right questions. He's very smart, well-spoken. He's not going to go for those shallow questions that just get a bunch of clicks. You know, you really can tell that he's going to go deeper than that and try and extrapolate some deep wisdom. And, and that's exactly what we got in this interview. So, I mean, just, I guess we'll get right into it, because, in my notes, I was like, oh, let me introduce Rick Rubin. But I think most people who, especially if you're listening this far in, you probably know who Rick Rubin is. But I guess just to give a, give a bit of a brief introduction. He's an amazing producer, one of the best in the industries. He is not a technical sound designer in any way. He has no technical ability. He doesn't know how to work a soundboard. What he does is he is it's hard to say because there's a lot of creative people out there, but of all of them, he is probably one of the most well-known of the modern era, well-known and notorious people for his ability to have confidence in his taste and give advice in a non-technical and still useful manner, in a way that is productive and helpful to artists and bands. And I mean, his resume is extensive and long, and I won't get into it at all, but I mean, he's worked with some of the greatest of all time. And, you know, there's a strong possibility that, you know, your top 10 songs in the world, at least a couple of them, have been produced by Rick Rubin. And anybody who knows music knows how talented and wonderful this guy is. And a lot of it has to come down to his just taste and his confidence in his understanding of the way sounds sound, in a way, if that makes sense. So his way to understand music and extrapolate that and also convey that in a way that is helpful to the artist to be able to improve and make it even better. So, and he talks, so a lot of the, I guess to just get into the conversation, a lot of the interview, at least the first part, talks about his book. So Rick Rubin recently wrote a book called The Creative Act, A Way of Being. And rather than, I think an important point that Ryan points out early on in the podcast is that rather than making a book about, because obviously this guy has worked with the most incredible celebrities, from Jay-Z to Red Hot Chili Peppers to Eminem to, I mean, the Beatles, like, you name it. This guy's been around in the mainstream music world. But rather than make a book about these stars and make something a bit more catchy and seductive to mainstream attention nowadays, he's kind of taken a step back, and he's made something that is, I think Ryan points it out the best, is he says he's made something that's a bit more timeless in a sense. It's less about what he was doing at the time and more about what he did at the time that was kind of timeless in a way. I don't know if that's the best phrasing of it, but he's not talking about Hollywood drama or, you know, meeting so-and-so and their outlook. Like, he's talking about a way of being that is conducive to the creative person. And that's beautiful. I think that's awesome. And, you know, just, I mean, even myself, you know, I'm a bit of a creative person myself. I'm super involved in, you know, photography, and I love all kinds of art. I love all kinds of creativity. But there is something about the way that Rick Rubin talks about creativity that I think really strikes home with, I mean, I don't know if it's the main, I don't know, I can't say if it really resonates with the mainstream outlook of things. I don't think that's what he's going for.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Listening to what he says, he's very much talking about, you know, a very timeless way of looking at creativity and something that is going to transcend more than just this current fad and this current trend of music and creativity, and I find that very engaging. So early in the podcast, Ryan talks about this one book. I think it's called it's like The Creativity of Archery, or not The Creativity of Archery, but it's something about archery and art and creativity, something like that along those lines. Can't remember the exact name of the book, but there's a there's a phrase that he says that I think perfectly encapsulates the way that Rick thinks about creativity, and something that I connect with as well. He says, in relation to archery, you know, when you're setting up, you have your bow drawn, you know, you're looking down the sight. He says, the string should fall from your hand like ripe fruit from a tree. So in that way, I think what he's trying to get at is it's not as much you controlling what's going on as much as you're letting it happen. And in doing that, you're like I said, like, you're not controlling what's going on, but you're part of this thing that's much bigger than you. and you're letting that work through you, and you're not trying to control it. You're just letting that creativity or that emotion or that feeling work through you in a way that's kind of, in a way, paranormal. Maybe that's not the best word, but it's very, it's not something that you can grab onto. It's not something that you can, you know, explain in words. It's a much deeper thing, I think, that he's getting at. And I just love that analogy. And he talks a lot about how, you know, rather than going into it, you know, trying to be creative, he says, I haven't read the book. I'll be honest. I haven't read the book yet. I would love to read the book. The audiobook is also available. Sorry to go on a tangent, but the audiobook is also available on Spotify. I'm sure on Audible and other platforms, but it's actually read by Rick Rubin. So I would highly recommend people to check that out. Because also, another thing that I love is Rick is one of these guys, one of these like old school philosophers in a way that just has a beautiful voice, beautiful, well-spoken, patient, very soft but reassuring voices. And so I bet the audiobook is amazing. I bet it's amazing. But anyways, yeah, so they talked a lot about the book. That was one of the quotes, but he talks a lot about how rather than trying to force creativity, which I think is an oxymoron in a way, and I think he would agree with this, it's a very much an oxymoron to force creativity, because it's not something that's forced. It's something that pops up like, you know, hiccups in a way. You know, it's not something that you can control or manipulate. It's a thing that you get in a right headspace. And he talks about this a lot in the book, apparently. But he talks about how you set up an environment for this creative way of thinking. And from that environment, and when you connect to that state of consciousness, that's when creativity happens. And it happens naturally without having to force it. And I think that that's probably one of the best ways that I've heard creativity described as, because, you know, a lot of people like to think that they're creative and think that they can, you know, they can just write a song or, you know, do whatever it is, or, you know, and like anyone, excuse me, anyone can color a coloring book, you know. That's not creativity, though. That's not creativity. True creativity is something that I believe, and I think this is something that parallels in the book a lot, is that true creativity doesn't come from you. It does, because you're the one creating it, but ultimately, that creativity comes from a place that's undescribable. It's something bigger than you. It's I don't want to use the word religion or, you know, go into that sense, but it is something that is described in that way, that it's not something that comes from your own consciousness. It's something that we are all kind of tapped into, and in a way we can all connect with, but you have to allow yourself to connect with that. And I think that's something that he talks about a lot in the book. I mean, he uses the analogy of, you know, tuning into an old radio station, if you will. You know, when you're driving in your car and you don't know the area and you're trying to find a radio station, and, you know, you piddle around with it, and then suddenly, all of a sudden, it comes in crystal clear. And you have no idea how. You know, you're just fiddling around with a thing. You didn't do anything, really, honestly. You didn't do shit. And you're just fiddling around with a thing, and all of a sudden, it comes in crystal clear. And that's the music of it. That's the beauty of life. That's the music of life. And he talks about that. I mean, obviously, like, it's interesting for me because my, so I'm kind of a creative myself. I do photography, and I'm, you know, I would describe myself as very much an artistic person, at least in the way that I see the world. I'm very aesthetically driven, this, that, and the other. But it's interesting for me because I think my creativity and my creative outlook on the world is very much visual, whereas I think what he's describing is more, it's more audio, and because obviously he does music and stuff, and so, but I think creativity as a concept, I don't think it's a concept, I don't think that's a great word for it, but as a, say as a vessel, creativity as a vessel, is something that is not something that we create. Okay, so say with me, I think it's something that we tap into, something that's bigger than ourselves. And again, to use the analogy of religion, I think it's something that we are able to tap into and notice and experience the power of only when the environment is right. And that's kind of what he's talking about in the podcast. He's kind of talking about how, you know, you're rather than sitting down and being like, oh, I'm going to be creative, you know, you have to cultivate an environment of creativity, and you have to have new information coming in, and you have to have the want to be creative. You know, one of my favorite things that he talked about in this podcast was artists or any creative person who finds themselves in a bit of a creative drought. You know, they're not as creative as they thought they would be. They're, that frame of mind of creativity is not there as much as they thought it would be. And one of the things that he says is, oftentimes what people will do is they will look in another avenue of art.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Or another avenue of creativity. So me being a photographer, that's my avenue. You know, I might go and listen to, say, a podcast talking about art producer or whatever it is. But, you know, like, learn about someone doing, doing stonework or making textiles or something very different from my own personal avenue of creativity, you know. But in a way, like I said, creativity is not an individual thing. It's something that we all collectively can tap into. And so by doing that, by exploring those other avenues, we're able to create new parallels and new connections in our mind that kind of help us break through in some way. And so I've done this many times. I mean, one of my favorite things to do, and this is kind of, but one of the things that I'll do is I'll go on National Geographic and I'll find some, or YouTube, you know, some other platform, and I'll look for artists who are doing a medium that's completely different than what I'm doing. You know, whether it's, you know, like I said, working with stone, or even just someone building a bathroom, you know, doing the fucking backsplash and the tile and all that shit, you know, like, and that will give me so much inspiration, because I'm seeing someone who is, again, tapped into that creative mindset that's not so similar from what I'm doing, but also it's in a different medium. And so I'm able to look at what they're doing and what I'm doing, and I'm able to kind of make parallels, and I'm able to extrapolate, like, you know, through their creative process, what they're doing that works for them, and then maybe I'll learn something myself or whatever it is. But he was talking a lot about how, you know, going to a completely different art form as a creative can make a huge impact on your own creative process and can really help you when you are when you're in a bit of a drought and you're a bit stuck and things. You know, one of the other things that he talks about is, you know, the importance of obviously being in that creative state and things. But he talks about, you know, in the music studio, in his particular world, one of the things that he focuses on is when you start something, you should finish it, right? So, and that's not just like a motivational thing or like a life principle, but more of like a specific creative thing. And he talks about how if you're in the studio producing a record or whatever it is, like sometimes you get these moments where, you know, whatever happens and things connect, and then you get this state in the studio. And I can only imagine what this feels like in real life, but where things connect and you get that harmony and you get that, you know, you get that symphony in a way, for lack of a better term. And, you know, he says, like, you know, once you realize that that's happening, it's very hard to have that continue because you understand what's happening. But he says, you know, staying in that state and finishing what you started from that moment is very critical. And oftentimes what he says is trying to get back to that level, trying to connect back with that original state of creativity can be very, very much of a challenge and can oftentimes be impossible. And so he talks a lot about how, you know, a lot of record labels or studios or whatever, you know, they'll hang out all day in the studio and they'll like eat, they'll hang out, they'll have girls come, you know, it'll be like a whole fucking day in the studio. But he says, no, we don't do that. We don't do that. We eat before we go. We have an idea of what we want to do before we get in there. We go in there, we get our business done, and we leave. And I respect that. I mean, that's huge. And I think that kind of focus and that kind of, you know, intentionality really, really plays on to kind of what he's doing as an artist and the people that he's working with and stuff like that. So I think that level of professionalism is crucial to the success that he's had. I guess the, you know, another thing that he, excuse me, another thing that he talks about in the show is, you know, the difference between, and this is kind of a little bit different than the music stuff, but the difference between writing something and publishing something. So when you're writing something, that's pure creation, right? Like you're in the zone, you're sitting down, and I love writing as well. This is something that I've, in my younger years, I've really grown fond of and want to spend a lot more time in my life doing. But when you're writing something, that's just from you, right? Like that's just your own creation. That's coming straight from your heart, from your mind and your heart onto the paper. And publishing is very different. When you're publishing, you're trying to sell something. You're trying to manipulate something maybe not manipulate is the best word, but you're trying to take what you've written and you're trying to find a way to sell that. You know, publishing is all about selling. How can you find the widest audience that's going to like your stuff? How are you going to, you know, narrow in on what you're exactly talking about? How are you going to summarize what you're saying in a way that sells, right? So it's very different from when you're writing. And he makes a very important distinction that those two things are very, very different. Very, very different. And he says you should only focus on the publishing once the writing is completely done. Don't think about the publishing when you're writing at all, because it's going to destroy the writing. It's going to manipulate it in a way that is unnatural from the original creative process, that pureness of it, you know, like I was saying earlier. And that's something that I never really thought of. I never really thought of, but it makes total sense because I've written a couple pieces before. I mean, even if you're writing some bullshit thing for school, right? Like, you're like, oh, fuck. You know, you read the rules and assignments or whatever it is. You know, like, you have the guidelines, right? Like, we're looking for this. We're looking for this word count. We're looking for it to include this, this, that, blah, blah, blah. You know, you have all these bullet points you have to hit. And that's not pure creation in a way. That's I don't want to use the word censorship, but it's adding things that are not part of the creative process, that pure creative process. That's not part of that at all. And, you know, like he was saying is you have to, when you're in the creative process, you have to focus on just that. And then once you're done with that and you feel comfortable with that, you feel happy with that, you feel like, yeah, this is me. This is what I am excited about. This is pure from my heart. You know, this is like all of those things, you know, then you worry about, okay, how can I keep this thing that I've created pure? But then also how can I, you know, kind of extrapolate and summarize what I've created into something that sells, you know, and those two processes are very different is what he was explaining. And, that kind of struck me in a way because I never really thought about it like that because I mean, it makes sense though, when you're thinking about the creative side of things and that's just coming from your heart and your mind, that energy is very different than the publishing side of things, right? Like you're thinking about, how do I sell this to the masses? How do I make this easier to understand? Like things like that. Those two things are opposites. Maybe not opposites, but those two things are very different from each other. And they shouldn't be construed with another. And that's kind of what he was saying in that. And that was something that I really, really enjoyed.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
One of the other things, and I think probably if I had to summarize this, we're kind of getting to the end of the podcast, so I guess I'll kind of start to wrap things up here. But one of the things that he was saying, and one of the things that I think I connected with the most, is the idea that creativity is not something that you create. It's something that flows through you. something that is from maybe, I don't know if another dimension is the right phrase, but it's not something that is cultivated inside of you. It's something that is, you're a vessel for creativity, right? And like I was saying earlier, when you, and of course I'm using all of Rick's analogies and his insight into this, but it's something that I agree with very deeply, is that when you tap into that state of mind, that creative state of mind, it's not, it doesn't feel like it's something that you're creating. It feels like it's something that is coming through you. You know, you're not, you're merely a vessel for that. And so the more you try and control it, the more you try and manipulate it, the less effective it is. That state of mind has to be something that's organic and pure and is not manipulated in a way. And that was, I think, the best, the thing that stuck with me the most. And it's something that I felt as well. I mean, there's been multiple times where, you know, I've been like, man, really got to do this. I need to take these pictures. I need to make this video, whatever the fuck it is. You know, I need to make this podcast, whatever it is. You know, I need to create something. I need to write this thing, whatever it is. And oftentimes, the more that I think about doing it, the more that I try and structure that thing, the harder it is to do. The harder it is to do at the end of the day. But the more that I let go of that, the more that I am able to, kind of let that thing float through me, let that idea, you know, rather than grab onto it and try and sell it, you know, rather than doing that, you step back, realize that all of these things are from something much deeper than yourself. You know, the more creative I'm able to be, the more I'm able to come up with ideas, the more I'm able to, what would you say? Create a environment that is conducive to creativity. You know, the less you think about it, the easier it is. That's honestly the simplest way of thinking about it. And I think that that's a great philosophy in life in general, but that was kind of one of the things that I think was central to what Rick Rubin was saying about creativity, is that it's not this thing that comes from you, more as it's a thing that goes through you in a way. So there's not a transaction that goes through in our minds where we're like, yeah, I'm going to do this, that, and the other, and then I'll come up with some ideas, you know, like, it's more of a community, it's more of a process, you know, it's more of like, I'll make an effort to do this, that, the other, I'll make an effort to, you know, maybe meditate for a day, or maybe do some stretching, or whatever it is, and then in those moments when you're not thinking about anything, and you're just, you know, living, you're just doing whatever, that's when those creative moments come, and that was what I think was the big takeaway from all of these discussions. So that's what I wanted to leave you guys with. I'll have, again, sorry, Adam's not in this week. It's just me ranting. I know I'm not as funny as Bill Burr or any of these other independent podcasters, but I'll have the links to the shows in the description below, and I'll make sure to
Check out the podcast, A Creative Act, A Way of Being by Rick Rubin. I'll have the links in the description below, and hopefully Adam will be back next year, or next podcast, not next year, hopefully next podcast. Yeah, and we'll be back with you guys soon. So anyways, that's all I have for you guys. Peace out.
I think hopefully Adam will be back next week, and yeah, hope you guys enjoyed the show. Anyways, that's all for you guys. Have a good week. Peace.